you know, there's no marriage problems. There's problem within the people. So I tell people, how do you heal your marriage? You have to let God heal you. You have to deal with yourself. You have to be honest. We have to submit to Christ. We have to do it His way and implement these practical steps and practical applications, because then you will begin to feel strong as a woman.
Welcome to the Significant Women Podcast. I'm your host, Carol McLeod, and do I have a treat for you today. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Tracy Strawberry, an international speaker, published author, CEO, and wife of baseball legend, Daryl Strawberry. After many years of battling addiction, alcoholism, and other life-controlling issues, Tracy surrendered her life to Jesus Christ and experienced a radical life transformation through the power of God and the process of change. You're not going to want to miss my conversation with this very significant woman. And while you're at it, invite a friend to listen in. Well, I'm here with Tracy Strawberry. And Tracy, let's be honest. We could talk about baseball. Mm-hmm. We could talk about being married to a celebrity, but we're not going to talk about those things to start off. We're going to talk about you, sister. You have a bachelor's degree in ministry, a master's in business, a doctorate in theology. What do you do for fun? Do you have fun? Like, what do you do to just
absolutely relax. Yes, Carol, absolutely. Everybody needs to have fun. But honestly, I was a person that had to figure out fun. But what I do for fun is I love to gather and have fellowship with my fellow sisters in Christ. Daryl and I have couples that we go out to eat with. We take many vacations here and there. We don't go far because we travel so much, but spending quality time with family to where we just throw on our pajamas and our comfy clothes with popcorn and pizza and everything you shouldn't have and watch movies together with the cozy blankets. And really, those are some of our favorite times. It's just fun and it doesn't cost a lot of money. It doesn't cost a lot to put it together. Just love being with family and friends. And that's what I cherish. And that to me is fun. It's creating memories and having a great time.
I love it. I've heard it said that when we get to the end of our lives, it's going to be faith, family, and friends that are the most important things.
Yes. Yeah. And I think as you get older, you start to have your perception changes a little bit and your priorities change a little bit. And depending on life experience as well, life experiences can change us and change our perspective and drive us into the things that are going to last forever and make the most impact. I know that's how it's been for me. So loving my family is the main thing I love to do.
Yeah. And, you know, Tracy, today you are in such a healthy spot emotionally, physically, spiritually, but your life has not always looked like this. So I want you to tell us your story and how you got from there to here. What has God done in your life?
Oh, it's amazing. God is wonderful. And I was raised in a very healthy family. I was not raised in dysfunction. I did have a life-altering event when I was 8 years old. I was molested by the neighbor along the way. He was the neighborhood pedophile and molested most of the children in the neighborhood. So there was a break that would happen in my life, a crack, if you will, to where the trajectory of my life would change. And I wouldn't realize how much that it would affect me along the way. So I found myself getting involved with boys young. I started trying alcohol young because I wanted to hang out with the older kids. And the spirit of rebellion started to kind of give birth on the inside of me without me realizing what was wrong, because I was young, didn't know how to process, wouldn't tell my family my secret, what would happen, that type of thing. So when I started to experiment with alcohol at a very young age, there was a calm that came over me. There was as if there was a peace that came over me that allowed me to disconnect from the anxiety and these feelings that I was experiencing so young and not knowing what to do with those, Carol, or how to process them. Boys, attention with boys. since I was molested, and that was a severe molestation to where my virginity was taken from me, there was kind of a thought process of, well, I'm just going to try to create love. And I didn't chase boys because I wanted to be fast. I chased boys because I wanted to be loved. And I think in my mind, trying to recreate a positive thing based on trying to remove the evil thing that had happened. Well, I'm just going to change it. I'm going to recreate it. So without realizing my behaviors, this would carry on, and my parents would ask me what was wrong. I would never tell. I kept the secret. That's somebody's word today. We can't keep the secret. The enemy wants us to keep them in there so we won't get well or experience help and hope. And I would spiral out of control with drug addiction and was not a strong student. My grades were falling. I graduated high school. And I married fairly quickly out of high school because I kept thinking, well, if I could just do what my parents did, if I could just have I'll get married and that'll fix it. I'll just experience love. That'll fix it. Well, that didn't fix it. I'll just have some kids. So I had three children with my first husband, I had three beautiful sons with my first husband. And that marriage quickly fell apart. So, well, it was his fault then. I just married the wrong person. This delusional thinking without stopping or listening to people who would tell me, Tracy, you need help. You have a problem. You have a drinking problem and you're angry and you're depressed. You need help. But Carol, I wouldn't take that help for a very long time. And my addiction would spiral out of control. I would be divorced 2 times. And I would find myself losing custody of my three beautiful sons before I would finally stop and say, okay, I think I need help.
So as a parent, Tracy, mm-hmm. like what did this do to your mother's heart, mm-hmm. especially when you lost custody? That must have been really heartbreaking for your entire family.
It was extremely heartbreaking and shocking to them. I had made a move to Florida. I'm from Missouri and my parents have always lived there. So I moved away and they weren't able to see my lifestyle, if you will. Mm-hmm. So I moved to Florida. So they had no idea how bad it was. Because in order to live a life of dysfunction, you have to lie. You have to be a real good liar to cover things up and put on a front and make things look like they're okay. So when my parents would come, I would put on a show and paint this picture and really thought I had things under control. But a mother's heart always knows. And so does a father's heart too, to a certain degree. And they just knew something was wrong. And they just kept asking me, honey, what's wrong? Honey, what's wrong? And one of the biggest mistakes was I would never tell them. Mm-hmm. I just wouldn't give up my secrets. I just kept running in them, thinking that I could handle it and that I could change it and that I could make it better. But that only escalated, and the progression of these deep, dark things that were happening on the inside of my heart. If we could heal ourselves and make ourselves whole, Carol, it would have already been done. Yeah. If we could heal our marriages on our own, heal our addictions on our own, heal the deepest wounds of violations and betrayals or things we were raised with or things that we saw, we would already do it. But only the great healing power of God through faith in Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the one who created us, can get deep down into the depths of your soul and heal the deepest wounds, the deepest betrayals, and the deepest things that produce dysfunctional loving and dysfunctional living.
Yes. So Tracy, when you lost custody of your children, was that the bottom for you? Had you reached bottom? When did your life turn around?
Absolutely. And that's a great question. And I always tell people your bottom is what you choose it to be, because mm-hmm. I hit many and we have a choice. You can choose right now. Somebody listening right now, you can choose. You choose what it is, because there's always another one waiting and it's always going to be worse. So when I was losing custody of my children, I was fearful that I would lose them. So I got clean and sober. I did not give my life to Christ yet because I was angry at God, because I blamed him, because I was confused. I didn't know the truth about God, and I was blaming God for the enemy's biddings and my choices and consequences. But when I finally surrendered my life to Christ and I was on the right path, I would end up losing custody of my children anyway, because it was too late as far as getting the hope and help that I needed. But here's a word for someone. Yes. I still went and pressed into Christ, even though I didn't get my answer, even though I didn't win the case, even though I had to sign over custody and I had to let them go. But this was the ultimate test of my faith that would grow my faith. So I had a choice. There was a crossroads. I could have either relapsed and gone back and shake my fist at God, or I can say, God, I trust you. I'm angry. I'm broken. Help me. And he did. And I got around the right people, and I kept going to study groups, and I got around strong Christian women, even though I was so uncomfortable. I didn't dress like them. I didn't talk like them. I didn't even know what blessed and highly favored was. And I just said yes to Bible studies, even though I didn't know what any of that was about. I didn't feel comfortable in a new life, but I kept pressing in and I kept going. And fast forward 10 years later, after believing Jesus and letting him heal my heart and allowing him to turn me into the mother he always created me to be, I am now restored to my children. And that's a story in and of itself, how that came about, because that took 10 years. I have a fabulous relationship with my three sons. I have an incredible marriage. I'm married to the most amazing man in the world, who, yes, did play baseball, but he's one of the greatest evangelists now that travels all around the world telling people about Jesus. He's an amazing husband. He's an amazing father. And all of these accolades that you were talking about when we opened up this podcast or this time together, that all happened in this 10-year journey, in this 10-year window when I was missing my kids, but God was turning me into a mother. I was diving into the purposes of God, the plan of God, people asking me to speak. I'm writing books. I'm now engaging in the life that God had for me during that time. So it's not all doom and gloom. If you open your eyes and you look for God and you look for his opportunities and you accept what he is doing during that time, you will come out strong. You learn to experience victories in the midst of the pain. You will learn that when you're saying yes to God and making the right decision, that now pain has a purpose and you're coming out of it, not embracing it and owning it and staying in it. God does have a plan for you, no matter how far down the scale you've gone, and he will do what he says he will do, and he will be faithful. But we have to partner with him, Carol. We have to do our part.
You know, Tracy, as I hear your story, I am just thinking about Joseph of the Old Testament, how he didn't like his life, he didn't like his circumstances, but God was with him. The word tells us the Lord was with him in the pit, in the prison, during all of those years, and the Lord was with you.
Yes.
So, Tracy, when did you meet Daryl, and has your marriage always been like a bed of roses? Has it always been as wonderful as it is today?
Absolutely not. And I love that question, because I met Daryl when I was 1 year clean and sober and 1 week saved. I had just given my life to Christ. So Carol, you laugh because you know where I'm going. I had no idea what saved even meant. I was still in my brokenness. I was still crazy, but I said yes to Christ. Daryl was on his journey trying to figure it out, but wasn't quite ready to surrender. So he was still lost in addiction. And we wrote a book together called The Imperfect Marriage, because when we came together, it was lost at first sight. It's what it was. I mean, we have a desire to love. God imparted and implanted in each and every human being the great desire to love, because it's his greatest attribute. It's who God is. But here's the difference. We need to learn how to love. The desire to love and the ability to love are two entirely different things. This is why people fight. This is why people say, oh my gosh, I don't know why I'm treating you this way. What's happening? So we have to address sin, consequences that we're in, deal with the past, and deal with wounds. If we don't allow Christ to deal with our wounds and be completely honest, he cannot come in and heal those wounds, because we will make each other pay for the wounds of the past and things we've experienced and be so confused and wonder why we can't get to the other side.
Wow.
Daryl and I got to the other side.
So that was a word for somebody, Tracy, that we will make somebody pay for the wounds of the past.
Yes.
If we don't deal with them
That's
in a healthy, holy way.
That's exactly right. And that's what this whole book, my whole new book is about, the courage to heal. And why do I call it the courage to heal? First of all, God has a healing pathway. We don't have to guess or figure it out. And that healing pathway is defined with practical application in that book. The word courage means you're going to be faced with decisions and choices that you're going to have to make that are going to produce more pain and feel painful, but those are the exact choices that are going to lead you into breakthrough and experiencing your healing. Healing is painful. So we have to have the proper expectations. So we can't check out because the pain feels too great or we have confusion. Like, why is this process so painful? I gave my life to Christ. Shouldn't it be getting better? And it does. But pain is part of the process. But remember, you're coming out of the pain. You're experiencing breakthroughs along the way. So that's why persevering faith is so important. Courage is so important. Courage means facing things and choosing faith over my feelings, because my feelings are never going to co-sign my breakthrough. They're always going to go against me or cause fear and anxiety, all these other kind of emotions that if we do not persevere, have a great Christian support family around us and put our faith and trust in God and listen to the obedience of the Holy Spirit, we can't get there. But God's desire is for us to get there, and we will get there if we just follow his pathway and trust him along the way and not bow down to our feelings.
Oh, Tracy, you're preaching. Oh, my language here. My feelings will never co-sign my breakthrough.
That's correct.
Oh, there is such power in that statement, Tracy. Now, we are emotional individuals. We do have feelings,
but
we don't build a life on our feelings. We build a life on faith and on the promises of God.
Yes.
That's what will co-sign our breakthrough.
Yes.
So, Tracy, you met Darrow. You're healing. You're making courageous choices.
Mm-hmm.
How long was it before you got married? How long was it before you were both healthy and whole?
Sure. There were several years. There were about 4 years that I was trying to save Darrow and running and pulling him out of crack houses and things of that nature, trying to fix him. I just fell into codependency. I'll save him. I have enough love and faith for us both. I'll rescue you. And I had to make some hard decisions. And this is the healing pathway. I had to tell him, you know, we're not sleeping together anymore. We're not living together anymore. I'm no longer going to rescue you and pull you out. Because as I was walking with the Lord, Carol, the Holy Spirit clearly showed me that, Tracy, every time Darrow looks up, he can't see me, the Savior. He sees you, because you're trying to clean him up, cover up for him, change him. He sees you and you clean up. There's no reason for him to rise up and be a man and get on the pathway to healing. So I had to get out of the way. And when I got out of the way, Darrow left and he went to his sister's house and he got on board with Jesus. He finally gave his everything to Jesus instead of his dysfunction that he knew I was going to clean up. I got out of the way. I trusted God. I had to let him go and trust. I didn't know if we were going to be together or not, but I knew it was the right decision. One of the most painful decisions. I felt like I kept losing. My kids are gone. Darrow's gone. God, when do I win?
Yeah.
Where's the win? The win, as soon as you make the choice for God, the win starts there. But you get to experience the benefits of the win a little bit later on down the road. You start to see clearer. That hindsight perspective comes in. I can see now what God was doing, what I couldn't see then. But as long as I keep my eyes focused on Christ, I live out the principles, and I'm doing the right thing with God, it is going to turn out the way that God intended it to be.
That's right. You know, Tracy, you've probably heard this statement too. Choose your hard. And that's what you had to do. So it was hard either way.
That's
to
correct.
Go back into a life of addiction, devastation, but you chose a different hard to push through, took a lot of courage, took a lot of focus, but look at what the result was. Oh. You are now living in the promises and purposes of God. So Tracy, you did that, a little girl from Missouri, you know, an unknown, just trying to live your life.
That's right.
But now Daryl, he was a celebrity and he had to do it in the public eye.
Yes, he did.
So was his hard harder than your hard? Did it take him more courage than it took you?
I would say absolutely yes. Because when you feel like everybody in the world is looking at you, you don't feel like you have a safe place. No one's encouraging you. Everybody is talking horrible about you. You can't even turn on your TV without seeing somebody making fun of you or laughing at you. It's a different perspective altogether. And everyone knows that when you are your most vulnerable, it's like pouring salt into the wound. So there was really nowhere that he could go or where he could be, where he could feel safe, covered, and encouraged. But Daryl made the choice to be courageous in the midst of everybody making fun of him and saying he's all washed up and what's wrong with this guy and all the other things that came along. He's a deadbeat. He's washed up. He'll never be anything again. He's never going to be nothing. What happened to our great slugger? You know, this type of thing. So you, again, you have to listen to what God is saying to you when the world is coming against you or your consequences are so big and the enemy is screaming through people and screaming through society, telling you the lies that you can't change or you're never going to be anything. Daryl made the choice to listen to godly men in his life and listen to his grandparents and godly counsel. And he said, I'm going to listen to the voice of God. I'm going to believe that he still has a plan for me because baseball is over. What do you do? Just go work at McDonald's? Like, what do you do?
Yeah.
God, I have to believe you for everything.
Yeah.
So again, the same choice I had to make, faith over feelings, right?
Yes.
Daryl Strobit, faith over feelings. God, I'm going to believe you and I'm going to trust you. And the magnitude of those feelings and people coming against him was great because of his fame.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was. Mm-hmm. Well, please tell Daryl that this girl is proud of him, that I'm cheering for him, that his ability now to be a role model to a generation of young men is incredible. And we're cheering for him. You be sure
Thank
and tell him
so
that, okay?
I will be happy to tell him that.
Well, thank you for listening to the Significant Women podcast today. We'll get back to my conversation with the powerful Tracy Strawberry in just a minute. But first, I wanted to talk to you about one of my books. Did you know that books make great gifts? Let's face it, most of the people in our lives have enough stuff. Candles, cooking utensils, new pillows for their couch, but giving the gift of a book is giving the opportunity to maybe change their lives through the power of the written word. Often I'll give a friend a book and I'll say, I saw this and I thought it might encourage you on your life journey. One thing that I do is every time I'm giving a baby gift to a first-time mom, to a grandmother, to a mom who's having her fifth baby, I always tuck a copy in of my book, Rooms of a Mother's Heart. I write a personal note inside and I let the mom-to-be know that I'm going to be praying for her in the months and years ahead. To get your copy of Rooms of a Mother's Heart, you can go to my website, which is carolmcleodministries.com, or buy it on Amazon or wherever fine books are sold. I hope that you'll get a copy for all the moms in your life. I always say, if you have a mom, if you are a mom, if you know a mom, you need to have your own copy of Rooms of a Mother's Heart. But now let's get back to my exciting, jaw-dropping conversation with Dr. Tracy Strawberry. Tracy, in your new book, The Courage to Heal, Moving Beyond Your Habits, Your Past, and Your Pain, you talk about a friend named Kim. Tell us about this girl who has so impacted your life.
She is so powerful. She's no longer with us today. She's at home celebrating and cheering everybody on. But God knows what we need and he knows who we need. He'll keep bringing hope and help into your life. He's never going to forget us. He's always going to be chasing us with hope and help and his love. And he brought Kim into my life. And she was a woman that was stronger than me. And Lord knows I needed that. I was a strong personality. And she could talk about her life in addiction and promiscuity and using some of the same drugs I did, which were very severe, and the love of Jesus all in the same sentence. So she got my attention. She never let me go. She was very real with me. She told me, she made me commit to my own recovery and restoration and life in Christ. Tracy, you call me at 8 o'clock. I'll be here, but you need to do your part. Mm-hmm. She's the one that taught me how to take responsibility for the restoration process. God sent hope and help in her. She was a powerhouse Christian. She believed in the power of the Holy Spirit. She brought me to a prayer meeting where women laid hands on me. I'm talking about old school faith women who believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and know how to cast out a stronghold. Brought me into this room. I'm telling you, hands up. We need to bring some of that back.
We sure do.
Yes. She knew that before I could ever move forward, that there needed to be a spiritual breakening. Some darkness had to break off of me before I could even think about loving Jesus, his supernatural power, prayer meetings, prayer calls, Bible study at her house, because I wouldn't dare step foot in a church because I was angry at God. I had to work that out. And she said, it's all right. You can be angry at God. He can handle it. She was the first person that ever told me that. She's like, he can handle it. You just keep showing up. You keep walking. She would just encourage me and push me into my greatness, with tough love, but I knew she loved me. And she taught me the scriptures. She discipled me. She taught me what the word of God was. She taught me how to pray, prayed over me in the Holy Spirit. I had a hunger and thirst for Christ. I wouldn't be where I am today without her faithfulness to God and her listening to the call of God on her life to go out and disciple women and bring them into the love of Christ. I can't say enough about her.
Oh, you know, for the moms who are listening today, pray that the Lord would send a Kim into the life of your child or loved one.
Yes.
To pull them out. You know, Tracy, I often think about how Peter yanked up the man at the gate beautiful, who never walked. Peter yanked him up.
Yes.
We need a Peter. We need a Kim who will yank us up out of our sin, out of our dysfunction.
Yes.
But Tracy, now I want you to minister for a minute to these parents.
Yes.
To parents whose children were raised in faith, or maybe not, but they're dealing with addiction, sexual, drugs, alcohol. Talk to us about red flags and talk to us about how to pray and minister to these broken souls that we love so dearly.
Absolutely. The power of prayer, you never stop praying. An example of this is Daryl's mom never stopped praying for him. He kept encouraging him, God's going to get it out of you. Now, she didn't see the miracle here on this earth, but here's the power in prayer. Faith never dies. Mm-hmm. Daryl is all her kids came to Christ. So prayer is number one. Number two, when you see that something's wrong with your children, make a safe place. Sit them down and look them in the eye and say, no matter what it is, and no matter how many times you have to do it, no matter what it is, whatever secret is, I know you. I love you. I see you are different. Don't be afraid to have this conversation. Something is wrong. Please share it with me. Please let me help you. What does that look like? And offer the avenue of a safe place. Be careful of what your reaction is. Be ready when they tell you what's wrong. That place has to stay safe and just say, I don't know all the answers. I don't know what to do right now, but let's get on the road to hope and help. I tell parents all the time, even if your children are not ready and they're rebellious, let's say they're in addiction, something has happened. Something's happened. There's a break. People don't just run out into addiction. If they start missing, their physical appearance has changed. They're angry. All of a sudden, they're rebellious. They're mouthy. They're disrespectful, stealing money, different things of this nature, not showing up on holidays. Those are huge red flags. Sit them down, talk to them. And even if they're refusing help, make sure you start to pursue help and get a plan in place. I have a curriculum on my website, tracystrawberry.com. It's called Clean, Sober, and Save Family and Friends Edition. That is a curriculum to help families and friends. How do you do what I'm saying right now? Because we can't possibly cover it in our short time together. So grab that resource and begin to position yourself in a position of power, knowing that you're doing the right thing.
Oh, thank you for that resource. That is so powerful. We'll be sure to link it in the show notes for people who are listening. So now, one more thing I want you to minister to right now, Tracy, are women who are in dysfunctional marriages. Mm-hmm. Give them some hope. Give them some coaching about what they can do to help heal their marriage.
Amen. My response to them is, Daryl and I wrote a book for that too, The Imperfect Marriage, Help for Those Who Think It's Over. I write a full chapter, it's called The Spouse in Waiting. My first question is your spouse willing to get out of the sin they're in? And if they're not, and you're a believing wife like I was, then you learn how to establish boundaries. I love you, but how do you love them? And not leave them without losing yourself. You have to put up boundaries, get around some strong Christian women for your support group, go after Jesus with all you have. If you're fearful of finances, get a job, get a protected bank account. There's some practical things that we need to do while we are believing. Bible's very clear about guard your heart above all else, because out of it springs forth every issue of life. Learning how to put in those boundaries. What are they? If they're in adultery and they're committing adultery, I'm sorry, we're not sleeping together anymore because you're not bringing HIV, whatever, home to me. I talk about these things very candidly in a pathway of strength while you're believing without losing yourself, so the enemy doesn't start working on you. You know, there's no marriage problems. There's problem within the people. So I tell people, how do you heal your marriage? You have to let God heal you. You have to deal with yourself. You have to be honest. We have to submit to Christ. We have to do it His way and implement these practical steps and practical applications, because then you will begin to feel strong as a woman. You'll begin to feel strong and you'll begin to cross some of those fears off of your list. Will I be financially destitute? Where would I live? You need to write all that stuff down and start answering those questions on paper and get yourself prepared, because you're believing for the very best, but you're prepared for the very worst, right? Mm-hmm. So while you're praying and you're believing, you're being practical, you're being powerful, you're putting up your boundary, you're taking the right steps, and you're seeking after Christ with everything that you have.
That is so practical. Thank you, Tracy. So the name of your book is The Courage to Heal, Moving Beyond Your Habits, Your Past, and Your Pain. Mm-hmm. And you are such a strong woman of faith. Tracy, and the word. So before we go today, do you have a verse that's just stirring within you, a piece of scripture that you just can't hold inside this morning? Would you share that with us?
Yes. Psalm 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds. It doesn't say He might, He may, He's thinking about it. He heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds. So with that scripture, go to the website, get the book, and take that deep so the Lord can take you on His journey, so you know what steps to take. How do you experience Psalm 147:3? You put God's pathway to healing into practice, and He will heal your brokenhearted and bind up your wounds and lead you to the other side.
Amen. You know, Tracy, one time I did a Bible study on what the Word of God says about emotions, because I realized some are not allowable, like worry, fear, anxiety. No, don't go there. Some emotions we can experience, but with a boundary, like anger. You know, it tells us how to deal with it and how long we get to be angry.
Yes.
But another thing I realized is some emotions are allowable, and one of them is a broken heart.
Yes. So,
and when we have a broken heart, God will heal us. He hovers over us. So thank you for sharing that scripture. Amen. Well, Tracy, you know the name of my podcast is Significant Women. And yes. I can't let you go because you are so incredible without asking you this.
So sweet.
Yes. Who have been the significant women in your life? What mm-hmm. women that you've known personally or just admired from afar have yes. impacted your life in a strategic way?
Absolutely. On a personal level, a Kim, right? Yes. So receive yes. the person that he's bringing into your life. I look at women like Joni Lamb, let's just say some people who are famous and who is the lead, all the adversity that she's gone through. And she has chosen faith over feelings and faith, even in the spotlight, things of that nature. She's a very strong woman. I look at Joyce Meyer, who discipled me through the TV, right? Through the television, who taught me about faith and who taught me how to deal with, she was like a spiritual mama on the television, right? Who gave me that spiritual spanking and love and says, get going, right? So those are a couple of mine that I used to listen to all the time because I learned real quick from Kim, the woman that God put in my life, that Tracy, you have to position yourself in every area of life in a different way. Who are you going to be listening to? Because some people will tell me all the time, I don't have any women in my life. Well, pick up a significant woman, a book, pick up a podcast,
yes.
pick up Carol's podcast, because you are a significant woman answering the call of God. Get truth on the inside of you. Get encouragement on the inside of you and begin to listen, obey, and run with those words. Mm. There's mentors all over the place. Just listen. Are they talking about the word of God or just some emotional rah, rah, ha, ha type of thing? It's got to go deeper. It has to challenge you to get past the pain and to be your very best. Those are the women I look for still today. I have to be challenged. Otherwise, I'm going to stay stagnant or stay stuck.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, Tracy, I love you. I feel like we're kindred spirits in the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you. Well, before you... Would you pray for the listeners today? Would you pray a powerful prayer over us today?
Amen.
Thank you.
Father, in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, there's no one more powerful. There's no one greater. You defeated Satan. You conquered Satan, sin, death, and the grave. You are the healer of every broken heart. Father, there's nothing you won't do. So, Father, I ask for every person who is listening to this podcast to run to you, Lord, not run away from you. You are a good, good Father, and I pray that that revelation comes along. Father, I pray that each and every person would reach out to you in whatever way, shape, or form, would get a resource, would continue to listen to this podcast, would be faithful, that they would hear your word that has gone forth and just obey it, Father, because you, again, are a good, good Father, and you are faithful, and we thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. God bless amen. You, Tracy Strawberry. What a great day.
Carol, thank you so much for having me.
My delight. Well, if you've been encouraged by my conversation with Tracy Strawberry, would you reach out and let us know? You can leave a review on any of the platforms where podcasts are available. We'd love for you to leave a review of the Significant Women podcast, or you could share it with a friend. Let them know how this episode impacted your life. You know, I always love to leave you with a scripture before we go. And today's scripture is John 8:36. And it says, "He whom the Son sets free is free indeed." And my goodness, that is the story of Tracy Strawberry's life. The Lord has set her free. And what God has done for Tracy, he will do for you as well. As always, thank you for joining me. And my friend, you are significant. Oh, do not just think that Tracy is the only significant woman of this generation. She's certainly significant, but so are you. You are significant because of the one who made you and the one who loves you. He's your Father. He is your God. He is your friend. I'll see you next time on the Significant Women Podcast.